Our second scripture reading today comes from the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 33, verses 14 to 16. Listen now to the words of the prophet. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this is the name by which it will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. Holy Spirit-filled words. Thanks be to God. Now, the words of our passage today were put into a poem for the lyrics to a hymn by Carolyn Gillette, and it reads like a libretto. The days are coming, said the Lord, to people beaten down. The days are coming in this world when justice will abound. My people, you will sing and dance, and hope will blossom forth. For I will cause a righteous branch to spring up on the earth. O God, you sent the prophets here to people long oppressed. You told your children, filled with fear, that one day they'd be blessed. You said to cities lost, destroyed by violence, sin, or war, that they would soon receive the joy that they were longing for. You promised justice in the land to those who were enslaved. You said that one day, by your hand, your cities would be saved. As sure as dawn would turn to day, and as the sun would set, your children there could trust your way. You were not finished yet. The days are coming. Now, does this Jeremiah passage seem like an odd passage, though, for Advent? Advent is a time for waiting, isn't it? And what is this about a righteous branch springing up on the earth and justice abounding? Now, Jeremiah was speaking to people who were about to go through hell. The Jewish people were going to have their towns desolated and their families taken captive or dispersed by the Babylonians. Jeremiah then is speaking a word of hope on behalf of God from prison. It was a promise of relief for the captives while Jeremiah himself was a captive, and his prophecy reflects a long-term promise of a Messiah coming to earth like a new tree of life blossoming, a branch of David that will spring forth with justice and righteousness. These people had been so mistreated before and were going to be mistreated even more that this was an awesome message for them to hear. They needed this message of hope to survive. Now, the prophet Jeremiah was usually preaching, though, against greed and idolatry and false prophets. He didn't always predict peace and safety and tranquility like some of the other prophets of his day. In fact, he was so honest in his preaching and teaching and prophesizing on God's behalf that he predicted the Babylonians were going to take over Jerusalem. And so he was thrown in jail because of such a horrible prediction. And yet his prophecy about the branch of David was very hopeful and did come to be. It was a light that would shine into a long darkness for the people. But for now, they would have to wait. Waiting and watching and wondering. These three W's sum up Advent pretty simply: waiting and watching and wondering. Do we take the time to wait during Advent? Can we wait for anything these days? And what are we watching for? And where is the wonder of it all? In slower-paced days, people took time to gaze up at the stars at night and wonder big questions like, why am I here? And what is my purpose in this vast universe? But now our society is so rushed that most people just rush from one thing to another. Many take no time to step back and look at their life and wonder if there's any meaning in it all, or should they change some things to help their lives have more meaning. But change is hard, and Advent is about change. Jesus was about to break into the cosmos of the universe and change everything that they had known before. But people resisted. They resisted him and they resisted his message. They were comfortable with the predictable ways things were, even if they weren't the most healthy or spirit-led ways. Now, Advent reminds us it's hard to wait. And it is also hard to get people to pay attention long enough to really hear God's message. A few years ago, a study was done that found that now the human attention span is less than your average goldfish's. I think that would have been fascinating, though, to measure a goldfish's attention span. But humans have even a shorter one. As a result, newspaper and TV writers are being asked to create news stories that last about 30 seconds to tell. We want the news fast and furious. And for commercials, have you noticed that 6 to 10 seconds is the goal for advertisers now? Rather than showing you a commercial that lasts, say, a whole minute, they often show now 6 commercials that are about 10 seconds long, one right after the other. Isn't it crazy? So your brain is just shifting all the time. In this distracted, fast-paced world, how do we take the time then to notice the wonder and the awe all around us when we're forced to look here and look there and then look there? Where is the fascination with life and beauty? And then how do we fit into it? Advent is a good time to ponder these things. How and where do I feel most fulfilled in this world? Most often, those feelings of fulfillment come from helping others. So Advent is a time to slow down for wonder and awe about the greatest gift that was ever given to the world. It's time to look out in nature, appreciate the beauty around, breathe deep, notice the people around you, feel the Holy Spirit just swirling around us all. Break away from the digital world because the digital world is anti-spiritual. Ponder how you can help others in new ways, especially in this season of consumerism. The philosopher Heschel once said, "Forfeit awe, and the world becomes just a marketplace." And sociologist Max Weber said, "In the past 500 years, the cosmos has been systematically voided of spirit. The condition of modern life, according to Weber, is in a state of disenchantment." Disenchantment. Our previously trusted institutions, the churches, hospitals, the halls of power in our government, have all failed us in various ways. And these failures cause us to be disenchanted with the idea of having faith in anything. And disenchantment disconnects us from a sense of mystery and wonder and peaceful spiritual living. Even with a loss of enchantment and mystery in this season, though, if we listen to our souls, we find there is a deep yearning for it in our souls. We want to be enchanted. We want to have awe and wonder in our lives. A spirituality of awe and wonder is our way back to an enchanted cosmos. Matthew Fox, who wrote the book called The Cosmic Christ, invites us to think of the word awe, A-W-E, as an acronym for awakening to wonder everywhere. Awakening to wonder everywhere. An example of awe is my grandson. I have to say that. When he was 2, he seemed to just naturally be awake to wonder everywhere. And I think we have a photo of him. Yeah, there he is. That's when he was 2. When we walked a neighborhood, his neighborhood, in October of that year, 2 years ago, almost every door had a pumpkin by it. And so he decided he had to go up and touch every pumpkin. And then he had to look at the cracks on the sidewalk to see where the ants were going. And then a plane flew over and he stopped to point up at the plane. The short walk took a long time. But I remember every moment because Chase made each little part of the world around us seem so special through his eyes of wonder and awe. And you can see this funny pumpkin, it was like carved upside down or something, but he didn't notice. Getting to know our cosmic Jesus Christ can be like that too. Learning to know the details about Christ's life and ministry is a way to become in awe over Jesus. The mystical part of our faith needs revival. Our faith is to be holistic, but to be holistic, we must connect to the mysterious as well as to the concrete evidence of faith. There is a great mystery to God, and we only know for certain from what God has revealed to us through the Word and in the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But we also trust that prayer and the Holy Spirit illuminates the Bible and helps us understand this broader message that weaves through it. In her book, The Way of Perfection, St. Teresa of Avila described what she called her prayer of the quiet, that she prayed daily. And then she would talk about the resulting mystical consciousness that she received. She wrote, "The soul rests in peace. All her powers are at rest. The soul understands, with an understanding quite different from that given by external senses, that she is now quite close to God, and that if she drew just a little nearer, she would become one thing with him by union. She does not see him with eyes of the body or the soul. The soul understands he is there, though not so clearly. She does not know herself how she understands. She sees only that she is in the kingdom." Now, this reminds me a little bit of how Paul explained in 1 Corinthians 13, "For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known." I appreciate the mystery of God. And God is present in the minute particles of matter in the universe. And then to imagine God present in the vast universe as dark matter, holding everything together. Ephesians 4:6 says that God is above all and through all and in us all. And in Hebrews 11:3 it reads, "By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible." This is the perspective with which we begin Advent. We wait and long for the birth of Jesus, again in faith, with the hope of his glorious bright light somehow breaking through the chaos. Now, in the early 1700s, an incredible piece of music was mysteriously created by faith. And it is worth studying this musical wonder and appreciate the mystical divine intervention that inspired it. It's another example of the mystery of God at work in people's lives. When you listen to the Messiah, you can tell that Handel, yeah, that was the picture. You can keep that up for a while. Felt that awe and wonder was all around him, and he felt what we call now the cosmic Christ when he composed the Messiah. George Frederick Handel, who was born in Germany in 1685, wrote the 259-page score of the oratorio in just 24 days while never leaving his home. It was written to be performed first on Easter in Dublin. And the creation of Handel's Messiah involved a mystical experience for Handel. In April of 1737, before he wrote this, at age 52, Handel suffered from a stroke which incapacitated him, making it impossible for him to perform or conduct for a period of time because his right arm was paralyzed and he was right-handed. He also said he experienced blurred vision, and eventually over time he went totally blind. But during his recovery from this stroke, he had time to read a libretto, which is, you know, the text that goes with music. And there were people in those days that would just write the text and then find a composer who would put music to the text that they wrote. And he read this libretto by Charles Jennens, who he had known before. And this libretto was something that was composed entirely of scripture, telling the whole life story of Jesus Christ. Now, Handel felt inspired to create an oratorio based on Jennens' libretto. And this is what Jennens looks like. And I think the two of them could have been twins almost. They look so much alike. So the libretto was written for a musical composition, and Jennens gave it to Handel to read. And in his libretto, Jennens' intention was not to dramatize the life and teachings of Jesus, but to acclaim what he called the mystery of godliness. And while Handel was writing the Hallelujah chorus, though, he reported feeling as if he had seen the face of God. In a book called The Spiritual Lives of the Great Composers by Patrick Cavanaugh, he describes Handel's state of mind. He says, a friend who visited him as he composed the Messiah found him sobbing with intense emotion. Later, as Handel groped for words to describe what he had experienced, he quoted St. Paul saying, whether I was in the body or out of the body when I wrote it, I know not. So Advent is a mystical, beautiful season to be enchanted by the Messiah, the music of the Messiah, and the real Messiah. So be attentive and in awe with wonder about the mystery of God. Make time for silence. Come and learn about the Messiah after you're done shopping at the alternative giving and the giving tree. And ask God that your time during Advent may be filled by Christ breaking through your own personal cosmos. With confidence in God's cosmic saving power, we can face our chaotic world each day with Christ's hope and a sense of peace in our souls.